Truly, you few beautiful-faced opponents, which part of restart do you actually oppose? Do you oppose its thermodynamics, the magnetic field present in restart? Which part of its imperialism do you oppose? Where is our word wrong? Is there a problem with its quantum? Does it mean you oppose physics, chemistry, mathematics? Do you oppose science, literacy, and everything? Are you the only one who is right? We call this week the challenge of intellect. Restart followers will go to the pages of those who think they are artists or opposition figures and believe they possess intellect. They will request them to point out the flaws in the Restart and Goodnight Iran programs. Let them find faults and tell us where it is wrong and educate us. Restart followers are attacking the pages of these dear virtual friends. A few opponents against 30 million Restart followers, asking them, for the sake of your mother, find one flaw in the Restart program so we can magnify it, and we will even help you ourselves. Welcome to the 119th episode, which is entirely correct. To the 119th episode that no one can find a flaw in, and to the 119th episode of Restart, the most dangerous program in 700 years. Welcome. A very warm welcome to the Restart program. It's 119th episode. Well, the Eid al-Gadir of the Shia, for instance, has passed, and you sent many messages asking me to talk about Gadir. I explained once before, we posted it on my Telegram and talked about it. We have no such thing as Eid al-Gadir in Islam. No Muslim has the right to celebrate Eid al-Gadir, and no Christian has the right to celebrate Eid al-Gadir. Then you might ask, does a Christian even have an Eid al-Gadir? Yes, Christians have an Eid al-Gadir too. Jews have it as well. In fact, all religions have an Eid al-Gadir. And Eid al-Gadir is a sign that religions are merely sectarian branches of Sufism and mysticism. What does this mean? It means Eid al-Gadir is a sign that proves to you and me that therefore in every era a guardian is present. It means Eid al-Gadir shows exactly that Rumi was right, Saadi was right, Plato was right, Khayyam was right, and Hafez is right. This is exactly what Eid al-Gadir means. What is Eid al-Gadir? Eid al-Gadir means that a prophet came and said, I am not the end, there is a successor. This is called Eid al-Gadir. Jesus went and said, I place my religion upon the foundation of Peter. I mount it upon the rock. Peter is there after me. Do not worry. This has existed throughout history. Zoroaster, who is the same as Abraham, said the same. It has been the same in all eras since Adam. Adam said, after me, Abel. Cain killed him, then it became Seth, another being, another complete human. This sequence of prayer beads, which in essence refers to وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ حَبْلَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا, meaning, and hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether, means a rope that is continuous and never breaks. Eid al-Gadir simply means, I'm not finished, there is a successor. That Eid al-Gadir in Shia, which they have now stolen and for which they dance aimlessly, it was created so that you understand someone exists now. That is the whole point, meaning Jesus is here now, or Moses is here, or Muhammad is here. It means they exist now and there is no other discussion in it. So Eid al-Gadir means there is a successor. This is called Eid al-Gadir. If you understand this, it means you have understood Rumi now, and you have understood Restart up to episode 119. It means you have understood that Muhammad is not finished. He is. Jesus is not finished. He is. Christians keep Jesus and discard the rest. They promote Jesus. Without him having a book, they write a book for him. Without Muhammad having a book, they write a book for him. Without Moses having a book, they write a book for him. They named this Eid al-Gadir and promoted it to each other and talked to each other. Essentially, Eid al-Gadir belongs to Sufism and has nothing to do with religions. All religions throughout history have emerged. Now, because you are Iranian, Islam is circulating a lot in Iran. You had Eid al-Gadir on a day that existed even after Cyrus. That Gaumata during the era of Zoroaster was the same. They had a day that they celebrated for themselves. They promoted it. It has been there from the beginning and will be there until the end. Essentially, anything we see in the world continues to exist. Why? Because this prayer beads exist. That is, that complete human exists. Saadi says, I was vigilant from the start not to lose my heart to anyone. But once I saw your visage, neither patience remained nor my senses. Saadi says that his intellect and patience were all in place, and from the very beginning he thought to himself not to promote anyone in vain, not to give his heart away, not to speak with just anyone, and not to fall in love until you arrived. We didn't know who this you was. That is, you and I, before the broadcast of Restart, didn't know who this you was. Now we understand who this you is. It means Saadi was officially a disciple of Abu Hafs Kidari Zanjani. He was a disciple of Kidari Zanjani, Mr. Saadi was. Kidari is a village in Zanjan. He was his disciple. Now, if throughout history things have been said, distortions made, or issues raised, the core of the matter is that in the 7th century a sugar emerged named Saadi. He created a sugar work called the Gulistan, which we are reading from now. In that same century, a sugar came named Rumi. We read his Masnavi. He crafted a sugar work called the Masnavi. A sugar came named Attar. Regarding this sugar, they ask, is the sugar better or the one who makes the sugar? Is Saadi better or the one who trained Saadi? Meaning, Kidari Zanjani, a child born in Zanjan, a great Sufi, though not a complete human, changes Saadi on behalf of the complete human. A boy from Kidar, Zanjan, turns Shiraz upside down. For this reason, they say, when Sheikh Aziz Odin Nasafi speaks of the one, the three, the five, up to the 40, and the 300. Throughout history, some from the 40 have been revealed, like Hafiz, but the one, the three, and the five have not been exposed. It is very hard to find a Sufi orbiting the complete human. No one knows someone like Kidari Zanjani, yet he is the Sufi who, by the grace of the complete human of his era, produced a sugar named Saadi, with the permission of the complete human. Thus, the complete human of Saadi's era produced Saadi, produced Rumi, and even scholars like Nasir al-Din al-Tusi. He is a philosopher, a polymath. You must look at this era and see what the sugar maker is and find the sugar maker. So what must you find now? The sugar maker. Because they never advertised, advertisement never exists in Sufism. It takes 700 or 800 years for a program like Restart to be broadcast, and even then the complete human must have given permission for such things to be said and for such works to exist, works that can move the hearts of millions. It takes time. They never advertised, you don't know Shuaib at all, you've only heard his name. You don't even know what he looks like, but Shuaib sent Moses and saved the Jews from the Iranians, the Pharaoh of that time. You can never understand who Imran is. You don't know Imran at all. You know Abraham, meaning Zoroaster. And it was by Imran's command in a dream that Zoroaster was told what to do regarding his child. So, you and I can never truly know. Imran cannot be identified, because they simply do not want to advertise. Where did you see Shuaib attack the Pharaoh of his time? He never attacked. These are beings in the universe, humans called the complete human. There have always been 360-plus humans in the world called the wise. The wisest of these 365 becomes the complete human. He is the wisest, but they all hold rank, one whose prayers are always answered. Aziz Odin Nasafi says these people are one whose prayers are always answered. If they give the command, everything moves. Well, back then, people didn't understand quantum or many scientific topics. They didn't know what it moves meant. It's like the sun. You've seen how they always say the complete human is like the sun. Now, suppose I want to go into a cave. I don't want to see the sun anymore. Well, what are you going to eat? I'll eat greens. Those greens contain the sun. Photons entered them. Otherwise, the greens wouldn't grow. I'll eat meat. Whatever you eat on planet Earth, the effect of the sun is upon it. Now go ahead and curse the sun. It doesn't matter whether it's four disbelievers, four wise men, four Muslims, four Jews. It's not important. The sun does not budge. The sun is present everywhere on Earth. And if the sun is present, regardless of whether we agree or disagree, this is scientific. Nothing can be done about it. Your propaganda wasn't part of this. You couldn't understand much. And for this reason, after Saadi, they started writing that Saadi's religion was Shafi'i. Now the Shafi'is of that era were very good people. You can't distinguish between a good and bad person. Perhaps the head of the Shafi'is was a subordinate of the complete human. We don't know. You and I know nothing. Then they wrote he was Sunni. You laugh. They should have written he was Shia so we could think about it. You'd laugh even more. Why? Because Saadi's religion is Sufism. His school is Sufism. His lineage is Sufism. His thought is Sufism. Just like Attar is Sufism. Like Plato is Sufism, Socrates is Sufism. What is Sufism? It means philosopher. It means Sufi. And these titles are present and clear within them. We have made great mistakes in our speech in many places. When Rumi says, we are from above and to the above we go, well, if we ask a scientist today, where is above, Ali says, go up from the earth. A Sufi laughs. He laughs for 15 minutes. He says, is the earth above? Just outside is above? Is this above? Sir, does your shuttle go up? He says, yes. The Sufi says, are you kidding yourself? The shuttle doesn't go up at all. The shuttle doesn't go up at all. Above is a place that only Rumi understands. Saadi and Hafez understand. Attar understands. There is no physical above. For you to understand, imagine a spaceship or shuttle that scientists say is going up from the Earth to the Moon. When it wants to land on the Moon, it is coming down. So if it wants to return from the Moon to the Earth, it must go up. This means up on the Moon is toward the Earth, and on the Earth it is toward the Moon. This is what they call the Coulombic magnetic field, as friends say. And the forces between two coulombs that lead to a magnetic field and the Earth based on the magnetic field has conditions in which we are currently living. Now, what it looks like and how it is, let's set those aside. So you see now, when a shuttle goes up, all scientists say it has gone up. When it reaches Mars, it lands on Mars. It comes down. Now, if it wants to come from Mars to Earth, it must go up again. So, what kind of up is this? Where your up goes into your Earth, and your Earth goes into your up. You created four ups according to the number of planets. Wherever you go up, its name becomes up. How do you know where down is? If that is up, then down is the same thing. The definition of up and down, according to scientists, is that the shuttle we send is up, and the shuttle coming from the Moon is down, and vice versa. Think for yourself, man. This is scientific, after all. Saadi says, I was conscious from the start. I was focused. I knew to whom I should give my heart so that I would not entrust my heart to just anyone, but I saw your visage, and neither patience remained nor my consciousness. He falls in love with Abu Hafs Qidari Zanjani, one of the wonders and great Sufis of that history. And then he says all his words in the preface. We don't even need to say it or think about it. He says that one night, well, I read to you up to where he was restarted, meaning his thought was shaken. He explains it clearly. He says, I sat and thought. Zoroaster had the best thought. For this reason, he speaks about Zoroaster in his thought, because he categorized good thought and such. He explained the path of going. Good thought is your path of movement, meaning you must understand what good thought is, not that thought has good and bad. Not at all. Thought has no good or bad. We have nothing called bad in the universe. Everything is good, but because it has no benefit for you, you name it bad. A snake is good as long as it is outside. When it comes and bites you, it's bad. It's a bad snake. Anyone who disturbs you, you consider bad. Anyone. Why? Because you are unaware of the magnetic field of your own body. You don't even know where the magnet in your body is. For this reason, you don't know if Satan is down or up or where exactly Satan is within you. Why is it that when you are not there, Satan is no longer there? And why is it that when you exist, Satan exists? When you think, you see that when you are not there, the earth is not there either. When you are, the earth is. When you are not there, the moon is not there. Look, the moment you die, the moon is no longer there. When you return and become alive again, the moon exists again. Your mother isn't there either. When you die, your mother isn't there. When you close your eyes, your mother is no longer there. You open your eyes and your mother is there. So is this mother really there? Is the moon really there? Where is your magnetic field? Where is the hole of Satan? How do you want to perform a baptism, Mr. Christian? To baptize someone, to initiate someone into Christianity? Yes, I perform the baptism. A simple experiment is done with elementary school children, used in Iran and the world, to define the approximate magnetic field. Because the experiment is technically wrong, but they explained it so we could understand a little. And they said, sir, pour some iron filings on a paper, put a big magnet under it. The shape of these filings changes, their state differs. Here it says, this shows that an entity exists that pulls these filings this way and that way. It performs this action, meaning it leaves an effect. Here, a magnetic field was created, meaning a thought production occurred. It was thought about, and later quantum made its move, meaning it happened step by step. It wasn't like it was suddenly born. Why? Because thought refines thought, and this is completely clear. They still don't know where the magnetic field of the human body is. We don't know where our north and south are right now. What do you mean, I don't know? Look, you know the magnetic field of the earth? Well, if you know the magnetic field, you should sleep in a way that you are within the magnetic field, so your blood circulates more easily. Well, if we know this magnetic field, we can perform certain actions within it. Our way of sleeping changes. Our weight is related to our sleep. Again, it all starts from the beginning. We cannot. So when do these tides start? When do the fats come out of our bodies? Instead of exercising so much, instead of putting in all this effort and dieting, at a certain hour, at certain minutes, it's possible that our fats shed somewhere and we empty them from there and that's it. Where do the fats go? How do we empty them? Why must we still be dieting on Earth, taking pills, inventing things, eating something to be a catalyst that disrupts our bodily system? Your pain is within you, and its cure is also within you, but you and I don't know what that means. Like up, which we don't understand. So we have no up on earth, we have no up in the universe except for one up. Up only exists in a way that you understand what it is when you die. A fetus in the mother's womb has no up. It's in the water, spinning for itself. It has no up. When it is born, what up does it see? It's not in that up at all. Above its mother's womb is the intestine. It goes down and it's somewhere else, the bladder. It goes left and it's something else. It goes right and it's something else. Now, if you enlarge this, you'll finally understand. When he is born, he finally sees up. So when you die, you see up. Therefore, then we are from up and to up we go. This space-time must change. You die and you see an up. That up is the up of Rumi. So you must die for Hosseini to see Rumi's up. Thus, you and I cannot understand the Sufi. One night I was reflecting on days past and regretting a wasted life. I was piercing the stone of the heart's chamber with the diamond of tears and reciting these verses appropriate to my state. Every breath of life that passes is a moment gone. When I look, not much remains. O you, for whom 50 years have passed in sleep, perhaps you may seize these remaining 5 days. He says, I sat down and really thought about it. I contemplated and I saw, man, I need to go sit somewhere. There is no up there. Finding the complete human, religion isn't about performing ritual baths. Islam and all that is ridiculous. Christianity is ridiculous. It's not these things at all. Saadi says, where should I go to find it? Should I read hundreds of thousands of books? Should I keep traveling to figure out what to do? He says that's where he realized he had to think. To tuck his head into his own collar, look within. After contemplating this meaning, I deemed it expedient to sit in the retreat of isolation. I said, I'll go sit in a corner. I said, I must see you. Where art thou that I may become thy servant? Where are you, my beautiful? What is this come up to heaven stuff? I need to sit somewhere. After this contemplation, not after superstitions like going to the Yamkaran well, or going to Imam Reza and grabbing the bars of the shrine, or circling the Kaaba. Remember, the Kaaba means there is someone on earth and you must circle them. They draw a cross for me. Which cross? Where is the top of the cross? Where is the bottom? What was on it? Who was on it? Look, they took one man to the cross and his close companions fled. No one said, it's me, it's me. And the stories in, two people cried, and you named it Jesus. Now you're also intellectual that you all weep for Jesus. It's very interesting. After all that time, those who actually saw Jesus, saw his miracles, sat with him, chatted with him, they knew what Jesus was. Did they know who Jesus was? He had broadcasted a massive restart for the Christians of that era, for his companions. But when they wanted to hang him, they all fled. And now you sit there saying, yes, I love Jesus, I would die for him, I see him. You think you see him. It's like you've thrown quantum into the air. You've thrown everything into the air. It's not really like that. He says, after I thought about it, I said I must now contemplate. I thought I deemed it expedient to sit in the retreat of isolation, to gather up the skirts of social intercourse, to wash the pages of unclear prishan, frantic scattered utterances, and henceforth speak no more such frantic words. I will speak little and select my words like pearls. I finally realized that I understand nothing. Except for the love on the beloved's face, all was a mistake. All that we read and said and wrote, Faiz Kashani says this. This is exactly it. He says, I realized I shouldn't speak, and from now on I must shut my mouth. Because now I shall not breathe so that the Spirit may breathe for thee. He must come and save me. A tongue-severed man sitting in a corner, deaf and dumb, is better than one whose tongue is not under his command. It's better if I don't speak. Until a friend, who was the companion of my litter and the comrade of my cell, entered through the door according to old custom. However much he displayed pleasantry and spread the carpet of intimacy, I gave no answer and did not lift my head from the knee of worship. He looked at me aggrieved and said, Now that thou hast the power of speech, speak, O brother, with grace and kindness, for tomorrow, when the messenger of death arrives, thou shalt of necessity draw in thy tongue. You must speak now, Mr. Saadi. Otherwise, well, when you're dead, they close your tongue entirely. We must speak now. We must speak now. Someone came and told him this, one of his associates. One of my associates informed him of the situation, that so-and-so has resolved and firmly intended to spend the rest of his life in seclusion and choose silence. You too, if you can, take your own head, leave, and choose the path of departure. He replied, By the great glory and our ancient friendship, I will not draw breath nor take a step unless speech is uttered according to the well-known habit and the familiar way. To distress friends is ignorance, and the atonement for an oath is easy. It is against the right path and a violation of the judgment of the wise to keep the Zulfikar of Ali in its scabbard and the tongue of Saadi in his palate. What is the tongue in the mouth of a wise man? It is the key to the door of the treasure of the man of talent. While the door is closed, how should anyone know what is inside? If you close the door, no one will know anymore. Although silence is etiquette in the eyes of the wise, now I want to skip these parts so you know what the subject is. In short, I had not the strength to withdraw my tongue from speaking with him, and I did not deem it manly to turn my face from his conversation, for he was a congenial friend and his devotion was sincere. He says, someone came, in short, told us something and we understood something. And here I realize that this person knows something. He doesn't just talk nonsense. When you wage war with someone, contend with one from whom you can either flee or find a remedy, fight someone where you can either escape or find a gazit, meaning a remedy. By necessity I spoke. We went out for recreation in the season of spring, when the severity of the cold had subsided and the days of the roses' empire had arrived, the garment of leaves upon the trees, and so on. In short, it happened that I spent the night in a garden with one of my friends, a place pleasant and cheerful, with trees intertwined, you would say, and he talks about it. In the morning, when the thought of returning overcame the desire to stay, I saw him. Here he reveals his secret. This person has undergone a restart. And through another individual, he also finds our dear Abu Hafs Zanjani. There is a point here. He says he then begins talking with this person and realizes that he guide gives Sa'adi permission to write the book. Meaning he gives permission that now you can talk, speak, it's no problem. At daybreak, when the desire to return overcame the opinion to stay, I saw him with a lap full of roses, basil, hyacinths, and fragrant herbs intent on returning to the city. I said, to the roses of the garden, as you know, there is no permanence, and the promise of the flower garden is not faithful, and the sages have said, whatever endures not is not worthy of attachment. He asked, what then is the way? I said, for the instruction of observers and those present, I can compose a book, The Gulistan, whose pages the autumn wind cannot ravage, and the passage of time shall not turn the delight of its spring into the autumn of a rival, meaning autumn. He mentions the sages. He's taking a jab at the sages. He says, the sages said, whatever endures not is not worthy of attachment. The sages are at a higher level than everyone else on earth. They are wise after all. He says that the person asked, what is the way? I said, I can do this. He said, that is great, do it. What use is a tray of flowers to you? Take a leaf from my gulistan instead. A flower lasts only 5 or 6 days, but this gulistan is forever delightful. Don't look for a flower that lives for 5 or 6 days and then dies. If you pick it and take it away because it's a flower, it dies 5 or 6 days later. Sa'adi says, if it stays there on the branch, that's one thing, but if you pick it, it dies. But pick from the pages of my words. Take them away and they will never die. My words do not die. Look at the greatness. Back then, he made the world's greatest prophecy. Even right now, Sa'adi's name is everywhere. All these clerics came to destroy it and failed. All these rulers, as friends put it, came. All these tyrants came. All these killers came. All these bad people came. They all pushed, they all tried, they all distorted. In just the last 50 or 60 years, how many times have they distorted things? But Sa'adi is still Sa'adi. This is the greatest of prophecies that all these masters made, saying, Sir, I am the gods of speech, the gods of words, and we are eternal. What use is a tray of flowers to you? Take a leaf from my gulistan instead. A flower lasts only 5 or 6 days. But this gulistan is forever delightful. When I said this, he spilled a lap full of roses and clung to my hem. That same day, the act of writing commenced regarding the beauty of conduct and the etiquette of conversation. In a style that serves the theologians and increases the eloquence of the secretaries. In short, while some beauty of the garden still remained, the book of the Gulistan was completed. He says, I had obtained the permission and done all the work, and a person whose clothing was like these theologians, these people, he saved me, and it shall only truly be completed when it finds favor. Otherwise, the bride of my thought shall not raise her head due to her lack of beauty. And whoever is under the shadow of his grace, his sin is as obedience and his enemy is as a friend. I tried to give a very simple, small explanation. It means he got permission to write a book. He had the permission to speak. To me, I ask, when you saw a poetry out there, by whose permission did you release that poetry? By whose permission do you speak? By whose permission do you release a book? By whose permission? What do you have to give out? From which source are you giving? From which seawater are you giving? This is exactly what Kerwater means. By which pool do you baptize the Christian? How do Muslims perform their ritual bath under water? By what permission do they do this? Is this water they pour over their heads a magnetic field? Does their body change this water? The electrons of your body are changed by this very magnetic field, just like iron filings on a piece of paper when you put a magnet under it. How is it supposed to change? With which water can you do this? Kerwater means water that does not become impure. These examples are all just metaphors. For instance, John the Baptist, when he baptizes the great Christ, John is connected to the Sea of Zechariah. With the love of Zechariah and the Sufi named John, through the love of the thought ocean of Zechariah, he baptizes Jesus in the Sea of Zechariah. And for this reason, you can go into the sea and do whatever you want. Even urinate. The sea is the sea. The sea does not get dirty. There was one John who was a Sufi, a person who was capable of baptizing. How do others baptize? One John calls everyone else into question. Saadi wrote his book with permission. That is why his book remains. Why do names remain in history? Even Malik Shoaara Bahar, when he talks about Saadi, says he is a prophet. Anyone who doesn't consider Saadi a prophet has a mental/psychological problem. This is why, because of the respect Saadi shows, such people remain. Their names endure. You say Bahar, so many people come out throughout history, yet how is it that from the 7th century, only 8 people's names remain? In the 9th century, Jamie and others came and remained. The 4th century, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, how so many? Don't we have many writers now? Thank God we currently have as many writers as there are hairs on our heads. Where will their names remain? Who says this is Plato? No one. All those whose names have been in history, dear compatriots, in the realm of mysticism and Sufism, they were all connected. They were connected to the sea of the complete human, and they had the permission to spread such words. Like Rumi, who says, I say nothing of myself. Whatever I say is given to me. It is revelation and I speak it. So, read a book that is connected to the sea and many other things that Mr. Saadi says in his headspace. And then he begins to say, I am the God of my thoughts, and starts speaking about the conduct of kings, which is a sea in itself. From this topic, in the 2nd chapter, he speaks on the morals of dervishes. In the 3rd chapter, he speaks on the virtue of contentment. The 4th chapter on the benefits of silence. The 5th chapter on love and youth. The 6th chapter on weakness and old age. The 7th chapter on the impact of upbringing. And the 8th chapter on the manners of companionship. And as always, Saadi remains Saadi, and he is. The conclusion is that in this Mendeleev table of Sufism and mysticism, Saadi is an element that exists within this table. This is very important. Meaning if we want to write the Mendeleev table of the universe, we pull Saadi out from between the Sunni and the Shia, and we put him into the Mendeleev of Sufism, and his name is there where it belongs, just like Hafez, whose name is there, meaning he is in the Mendeleev table. Now, it is true that Rumi is in the Mendeleev, but his place is different, not at the top of the Mendeleev, but at the top of another kind within the Mendeleev. But he is an element, Saadi is an element, meaning the rest must be made from him. He is from himself, he belongs to himself, his atomic number is known, he has a personal atomic number, he has Saadi's fingerprint. Hosseini has no place in the Mendeleev, nor does he have a place outside of it. Saadi has a fingerprint, meaning he is one of the elements. Now, one is an intermediate element. One is up there, helium on the right, hydrogen on the left. What matters is their atomic number. These have an atomic number. Abu Hafs Kidari Zanjani shook this atomic number and Sa'adi became Sa'adi. Shams shook it and Rumi became Rumi. And mind you, Shams is a Sufi. He is not a complete human. He comes with the permission of the complete human and creates an atomic number for this person. They call this quantum. It means a man who is a womanizer, a booze drinker, a lambada dancer, a hot pants wearer, a brawler, a murderer, a knife man. When I say murderer, remember Moses. You have to go through these in order to know that every single one of them had these inside them. A person who possesses no atomic number is not a compound element. An individual, a Sufi, comes and connects a certain electricity to him, generates a magnetic field in him such that all the electrons of this human being change and brings into existence a being they call an element. So you must discover the way elements are created in the universe from inside this. So Mendeleev knew the subject, and for this reason he left the complete human Sufi's place blank in the Mendeleev table. He said, this one will come later, but this is the place. He knew the spot. So the place of the Sufi is known 28 billion years from now. Everyone knows this. All the people of Sufism know, not just me and you. So how is an element produced? An element is produced from a creature that undergoes transformation. This is what is called those who with a glance turn dust into gold. It means this. It means he turns a creature called dirt into gold. Meaning a body, he produces elements that they then say have become transmuted. Is it even possible to turn dirt into gold? What can do this work? A golden one, a shining diamond like Feyz Kashani, Sheikh Karkani, Bayazid Bastami, Sheikh Karkan. Really, shame on Hosseini, who is from Shahrud and doesn't know Sheikh Karkan. Really, shame on Hosseini, who is from Shiraz and doesn't know Sadi and Hafez. Shame on Hosseini, who is from Kerman and doesn't know Shah Nimatullah Wali, who is from Zanjan and doesn't know Kidar, and Kidari Zanjani, who is from Tabriz and doesn't know Shams Tabrizi. What gems existed in the universe on the soil of your country? I say your soil because there is no mine and yours. Earth, the planet Earth, has been here from the beginning. You just picked up a ruler and drew a line, then the next king came and moved the line a little further that way. You guys just got stuck between these lines. This one is Muslim, that one is Arab, that one is Persian, that one is Kurd. These are jokes. You drew a line and said, my pool is here, this is my tree too. And then you picked one of these 3.5 billion girls and said, she is my wife. Well, and now if anyone looks at her, you slap them in the ear. Basically, the idea that everything belongs to me and such has been drawn out in your worldview. Whereas we are 7 billion, praise God, on a planet Earth that has been here from the start, and we will leave, and the planet Earth is here. This attractive old woman, she is always here and will be. Throughout history, 100,000, 108,000 years ago, which is the latest human cycle that you and I are in right now, up until now, as this program is being presented to you, there existed beings and wonders who would turn dirt into alchemy with a glance, and their name was complete humans who came one after another and produced Sufis who, with the permission of the complete human, could pour Jesus into the sea of Zechariah and bring out a Jesus whose name became Jesus. So these became to turn upside down. The magnetic field is in the hands of the Sufi, otherwise it is impossible for a murderer like Moses to reach via Shoaib, a prophethood where he becomes interlocutor of God, speaks directly with God and doesn't even need Gabriel, meaning Gabriel went on vacation in that history. He went, for example, to have fun with the girls. He was with the Horis. He was here and there. He wasn't between Moses and God, or perhaps he was reserved for other people. In any case, there is a great insistence on this in the books of the Friends of God. Thank you for listening to this program. I entrust you to the magnetic field of Mr. Sa'adi. If you get connected, may he shake you such that billions of volts of electricity could not shake you. I entrust you to the magnetic field of Sa'adi which exists, and which your eye does not see, Hosseini. You and I cannot see it. I entrust you to the internal forces of Sa'adi, which cause words to come out of his mouth, creating a dance that, if you don't dance with it, you don't know how to dance well. Lambada, that means dancing with Sa'adi. If you want to dance, dance with your girlfriend with Sa'adi's poem. Dance with the musicality and the music of Sa'adi, with this very beautiful sound that originates from the magnetic field of Sa'adi, which was produced by Kidari Zanjani, who is connected to the complete human of that era, so that we may understand this sentence. They ask, is the sugar better, or the one who makes the sugar? Is the beauty of the moon better, or the one who makes the moon? Farewell.